I'm Brendan Sarpamurudu, and you're listening to Ravens Weekly.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 30 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast. Episode 30, I still can't quite believe that.
No, we've got getting into double figures now.
We'll be done by four.
Big thank you to Crown Ash Developments for sponsoring the podcast as always. It's greatly appreciated. Big thank you to everybody tuning in and downloading. As ever, I'm joined by Matt.
Hello.
And Cookie.
I'm back, hello.
What we got coming up on this week's episode, guys?
Okay, so firstly, we're going to be looking over recent fixtures against Dagenham, Redbridge and Chesterfield.
We're going to catch up with Neil Smith post the Chesterfield game.
We're also going to catch up with first team physiotherapist Sean Wickenden about recent injuries to the squad.
There's an exciting update on our under-23s.
We're going to hear from Luke Coulson as well on how he's settled into the club since joining in December.
We had a question last week and we'll be hearing from you.
And we're also going to look ahead to our upcoming matches, starting with the Kent Senior Cup next Tuesday.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, guys. Busy episode as always. We're going to start, obviously, by recapping on the football front. Like you say, we're going to talk about Dagenham. Right, Chesterfield. Cookie, you were working back at the club that day.
I missed a blinder, apparently.
Myself and Matt were on commentary duty. Big shout out to all those who put up with our dulcet tones on that day. I mean, blimey.
Fans have got there, including being stuck in the traffic as well.
Stuck on the M25, etc., wasn't it? Dartford? Matt, how do we summarise?
Just really wasn't our afternoon.
We lost a game in the first 15 minutes, didn't
we? We did, yeah. 2-0 down after 13 minutes, and it was just clear that, unfortunately, it wasn't going to be our afternoon. We don't seem to have much luck at that ground, do we, unfortunately? And like you say, 2-0 down early on in the game. The windy conditions really didn't help. Injuries to the squad were causing us problems. We were missing players already, and then for Mark Anthony to have to come off at half-time just made things worse. And, you know, we didn't really have a shot on goal until the sort of 70th minute or something, where the keeper's made it a good save, to be fair. But yeah, it just really wasn't our afternoon.
I don't know if there's much more to say on that. Chesterfield at home on Tuesday, obviously. I mean, before the game even started, the weather. I mean, what did they call it? Storm Gareth or whatever it was?
Yeah.
I mean, Gareth wasn't a problem because he was just lying in here doing nothing.
Funny enough, Gareth.
Obviously, the crowd. I mean, the crowd was 910, I think.
Yeah.
Which, considering the weather all day and everything, I knew it stopped before kickoff. But most people must have looked outside their window in the afternoon and gone, "Oh, stuff. I'll stay at home." And, you know, so I must have been chuffed with the crowd. Chesterfield, they bring about 150.
154, I think they bought.
Six goals.
Bit of a thrilling game, wasn't it? And it didn't seem that way in the first half. You'd think it was heading for a no-score bore, as they call them. Chesterfield obviously scoring 1 minute before half-time.
And
it was a very good goal, in fairness. But you wouldn't have seen five more goals coming in the second half, would you, really?
No way, not at all. I didn't see much of the game, but obviously gauging people's reactions and stuff when we scored.
Loves that line, doesn't he? Double busy. I didn't see much in the game.
Yeah, it's too busy being a hero. Have you taken your cape off yet?
What?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, so we must have been touching it. We had a pitch incursion. What was that? Was that the first goal, the equaliser, or the second goal? Second goal to put us ahead, wasn't it? Yeah. Gentleman in question managed to jump the barrier, if you saw it on the video. Well, the FA saw it, because I've not got the letter through. Obviously, I mean, that's all stemmed from the scenes at Birmingham, or whatever, previously, hasn't it?
About the whole
pitch incursions and everything like that, and no doubt if it was a question of the week, there'd probably be some funny answers from previous years gone by with regards to certain regular faces and possible pitch incursions in the past. However, it was obviously a general question. So, Cookie, I've never seen you move so fast.
Well, everyone asked me how the London Marathon is training coming on, and I've been training hard. And
you could tell, mate. You could tell it's fantastic reactions.
Yeah, everyone saw it on.
But obviously, on a serious note, it was taken outside. I think the police have dealt with it, obviously, by a letter of the law and the FA involved, etc., stadium bans, etc. So yeah, not nice to see. But obviously, back to the football front. I thought, you know what, you would have taken a point before it.
Yeah.
You would have quite happy to take the point. I think to then take the lead twice, you're thinking, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But I mean, by the end of the game, I mean, the injury, I mean, Jack, again, you know, Jack comes back from everything and then he gets a kick in the head, he does. I mean, the average height of our back four by the end of the game must have
been 4'2". But I honestly think that up until the point Jack went off, we would have controlled it. Jack hadn't come off, I don't think we'd have gone on to score a third, but I think we'd have consolidated. I think we'd have got 2-1. He looked very strong in defence as well.
We scored a third, didn't we?
No, I'm saying I think Jack would have still stayed on, we would have held out for a 2-1.
Yeah.
I think changing it up, I think we looked very good attacking going forward. JJ went back to his best and he
I saw something on Twitter about JJ. So if JJ for the season, it'd be a 20 goal striker.
Yeah, absolutely incredible performance from him. Second half, first half, it's funny, he didn't look like even getting in the box, let alone shooting. It's amazing the difference that half time team talk can make, and a slight change in tactics as well, which saw us push Luke Coulson out to the wing and settle to a back four once again. And it was really, really interesting to see actually just how much we were attacking from the off. The first goal, I think that's the first ever time that I had no idea who scored the goal. Helpfully, we got an email from the National League that told us it was an own goal, despite the fact Roger Johnson tried to claim it. And then obviously the other two goals.
I thought Roger put it in.
It's been decided by the National League that it's an own goal from Chesterfield Captain.
You had a little side deal with him. What's that all about?
But JJ with the other two goals, absolutely fantastic finishes. And, you know, in fairness, as you were saying, Jeff, about the depleted back four and side at the end of the game, they brought on Tom Denton, who's 6'8" and just won absolutely everything that was
Halifax,
and just wins everything as you'll remember.
Crouch-esque, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, but he's a big unit as well. He's very, very stocky as well, so he certainly worked wonders for him when he came on. And but you said, you look at the start of the game, you'd have taken a point, and that's what we got.
Obviously, Matt, you managed to catch up with manager Neil Smith at the end of the game as always, and here's what he had to say.
Neil, it's been a tough run, but put to an end tonight with a point. Is that the way you see it?
Yeah, I thought they were strong. You know, you're talking about Chesterfield here, a league club, with all the facilities they've got, and I think we match them in every department. And it's just a shame that, you know, we go a goal up, and then they come back into it. We go a goal up, and they come back into it. And then at 3-2, you think just see it out, but you know, wasn't to be. And then you lose Jack Holland with a massive scar down his face, and you know, disappointed. But it does stop the rot. 3 games without a loss, so that's a point gained, and you know, it gives us something to build upon.
And a very topsy-turvy game. Perhaps both teams deserve a bit of credit for fighting back.
Yeah, look, you've got John Sheridan in there who's played at the top level. You know, he's managed at the top level as well. He's never going to give up, and we've matched their team. You know, we showed as much as they did, and you know, I thought just at the end maybe shaded it, but when you bring on someone like Denton with his aerial prowess, you know, you're going to be in trouble. But disappointed, but you know, overall I think we showed more goal tonight than we did on Saturday, and that was what I was looking for.
Absolutely. And you look at the side that was out there, credit to all of them, a lot of injuries and not helped by Jack Holland having to go off, unfortunately.
Yeah, look, Jack played today, announced himself fit, which was amazing, and then you know, puts his head into a, you know, a very brave situation and comes out with a, you know, a boot in the face. But I've got so many players out at the moment, and every one of those players would have been a starting player. So fair play to the ones that played. You know, Alan Dunn coming in, playing centre back, hadn't played all season, or you know, as bit part, played a full 90 minutes, and he just sums up the team spirit I've got at this club. You know, willing to put himself out there and put himself on the line, not for himself, but for the club and the team.
Any idea who scored the equaliser? We still don't know.
Oof, good point. I think Oops might take it.
Well, he's told us own goal, so.
Yeah, no. I'm telling you now, he'll claim it. But, you know, it didn't matter. It was just getting that goal. And, you know, we'll take anything at the moment, going a couple of games without someone scoring. So, however it goes. And then I thought Hoops was amazing today. I thought that was the Hoops that we've signed earlier on. this season, then hopefully he's coming good now towards the end.
And obviously no game on Saturday due to the Orient game being rearranged. We travel to Tunbridge next Tuesday in the Kent Senior Cup, and I know that's a competition you're taking very seriously.
Of course, you know, it's a cup game and you want to get to the final. Hopefully we've got enough points that we can, you know, say we're safe. I know one's saying it's the 50 point mark, you know, one win out of the next eight and then we're safe, but you know, it'd be lovely to give the supporters a final to go to. I know they think highly of this cup, and I'll definitely give it the respect it deserves.
Neil, thank you.
Pleasure to hear from the gaffer as always there. Obviously, as he refers to Tunbridge Angels, Kent City Cup semi-final, we're going to move on to that next, as Gareth jumps on the table. We're going to move on to that later on. Obviously, Matt referring to earlier, and obviously the growing injury list that we currently face. I've not really had anything like that for
long time. It's really difficult, you know, when you sign four centre-backs at the start of the season and everyone's, oh, it's too much. And now, actually, it's shown why we did that. And we've been so unfortunate that only one of them was fully fit at the start of the game on Tuesday. And Jack's still playing through a little bit of pain, but doing a fantastic job, and then to have to come off. And obviously, one person is looking after all those players that are injured and trying to get them back as soon as possible, and that's our physio, Sean.
Sure, and obviously, I know you managed to catch up with him. But obviously, the biggest blow, I mean, Mekki, obviously, as we all know, we've managed to catch up. And obviously, it sounds like his rehab and everything seems to be going really well.
Yeah. I think he's slightly ahead of schedule. Not to say that he's going to be making an appearance this year, but he's out of his boot already. He's walking, albeit unstable. But I think the work begins on his fitness with his legs in the next sort of like month, which is fantastic.
Well, it's brilliant. And obviously, Matt, unfortunately, there was more bad news confirmed in the week, obviously, with regards to Jake Goodman.
Yeah, unfortunately, he had his scan after that Bournemouth game, and it's been found that he's got a bad injury to his ACL, which, as a lot of football supporters will know, is quite a long-term thing in terms of, you know, having a few months out, and it's not an injury that you can recover really quickly from. It's so gutting to happen to such a nice person again, and such a great player who'd been doing such a great job for us whenever he played. Consistent, no nonsense defender.
Obviously, I saw Jerry, obviously chairman, obviously catching up with Jake earlier in the week. Obviously, Joe had a similar thing when he was playing.
He did.
Was out in America or something? Not that he goes on about playing in America, but
not that he goes on about playing at all.
He did play in America. A similar thing. So it's quite obviously everybody was obviously trying to keep Jake the support obviously needs at this time, etc. I know the club are working hard at the moment with regards to his operation and everything that now needs to happen as a result of it. But yeah, obviously Jerry had a similar injury, and he also explained it. What is it? It's 6 to 9 months, or obviously, sorry, am I? Is this, did Sean cover? I guess Sean covered this in his interview.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I might leave it to the experts. Matt, you managed to catch up with Sean, club physio, and here's what he had to say.
Sean, we've caught up with you a couple of times this season already. You've been very busy, which is unfortunate. But obviously, the main point of discussion today is Jake Goodman and his injury. Can you update us on that?
Yeah, we got Jake scanned after he went down in the game last week. And it wasn't the best news on the report. He ruptured his ACL. He also had damage to either medial and lateral ligament, and also tore some of his meniscus. Where that leaves us is a long time out, unfortunately, for Jake. So not the news anyone wanted, but we're on top of it, and he's looking to get back as soon as we can, really.
And he has been in and around the first team squad, in and around his teammates, which is keeping his spirits up, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we said he was bored within 2 days, so it's good to have him around the club. He's a good character, and he'll be with us for the foreseeable future, getting him back as quickly as we can. He's working hard. We had him in the gym today, so we'll keep his fitness up and do everything we can until he has his op.
That's brilliant. Thank you for that, Sean. And just touching on another thing, obviously, we saw Jack Holland make his return from the rib injury in the Chesterfield game, but we then saw him go off with about 15 minutes to go. Obviously, supporters wondering what happened there. Are you able to clarify that?
Yeah, when I arrived on the pitch, Jack was, apart from the blood, he had a nasty cut above his eye, probably about 3 inches just above his eyebrow. So, firstly, we thought that wasn't going to be able to get... it was requiring stitches, he wouldn't be able to continue with just the injury. But on closer examination, he wasn't quite with it either. So it was the whole concussion protocol we wanted to follow and make sure that he was okay with that. on the video reflection, it shows that he may have lost consciousness just before I got to him. So I think we made the right decision on Jack. It was just unfortunate timing. He would have loved to continue, but it was too many factors going against him, unfortunately.
Sean, thank you. It's always very insightful to catch up with you. Thanks for your time.
Not a problem. All the best.
Obviously, Sean, a busy man at the present, a club physio. I didn't quite understand the severity of the cut to Jack's head during the game.
No, I mean, it wasn't apparent from the distance. Obviously, he was away from where most of the supporters were stood as well, down the other end. So it really wasn't clear what had happened when he went down. But as he came over towards the main stand, it was clear to see there was a lot of blood running down his face. And it was unfortunate that night as well. We had Roger Johnson as well, was elbowed in his windpipe and couldn't breathe for a few seconds. So that's why he was down in the first half for quite a few minutes. It's been a difficult period in terms of injuries, and we're just now maybe thankful for a little break where some players can get fit again and regain their fitness.
Definitely, obviously, moving away from the first team, our under-23s were in action last week, Matt. We covered it briefly on the podcast, we were in terms of previewing it, but they actually had a double header. We were sort of split squads, played on the Friday in a league fixture, I think, and lost, and then played on the Saturday in a quarter final and won.
A cup game, yeah, that's right. So obviously, we were here for the game at Hayes Lane on the Friday night, where they hosted Aldershot Town, and it was a young under-23 side, shall we say, predominantly academy players, a couple of under-23 sort of regulars as well. They went 1-0 up, Ollie Tanner with a penalty early on, but eventually lost 3-1 to an Aldershot side who had a very good know-how about them and played some very good football in the second half. However, a different under-23 side went to Hartley Whitney the day after that on the
Saturday.
Brings
back memories, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of Bromley fans will remember have some very special memories from
that
place.
I think I watched the whole game from the bar. Just having a beer,
yeah,
honestly.
I've never been so cold.
But I've been really brilliant. Oh, yeah, that's probably, yeah, I was in a warm.
you're all right. I was stood on the slope outside just next to the pitch. I think it was 0-0 the actual game itself, but they won on penalty. So they progressed through to the semi-final of the competition, where I think... I can't remember who they're going to face.
We played them in the FA Youth Cup years ago. Lingfield.
Yes, Lingfield. That's right.
And that's in the semi-final of the plate, isn't it?
And they've also got Lingfield in another semi-final as well, I believe, which is the cup or the trophy. So they're actually playing Lingfield in two separate semi-finals, which will be interesting.
Yeah, blimey. A bit like the old youth days. You just play it all in one game. Winner takes all.
I know, yeah, surely.
I think Abbey Rangers are the team in the plate final. I think
yes,
I saw a tweet earlier about that. But obviously also playing tonight, Matt. For those listening on Friday and downloading, they are playing at home tonight against...
Knapp Hill. 8 o'clock. I'll be here doing the updates for that one. So, we look forward to seeing that game tonight, and hopefully they'll get a win. And it'll be great to see as many supporters down here as possible.
Fantastic. And just cutting back to the first team, we always try and catch a player every single week for an interview, don't we? And obviously, being 30 episodes in, we sort of tend to have gone round most of the squad, but Luke Coulson has been kind enough to give you some time this week, Matt.
He did, yeah. Luke's always great to speak to. He's actually done a degree in sports journalism, I believe, which helps. But yeah, he's always a fantastic.
All the three
person.
Of us, cool, dear. So you want to have our job.
Yeah, he was absolutely fantastic to speak to. And I just had to mention that goal. I know it's done the rounds, but Luke was a great interview and learnt a lot. So he's what he had to say. Luke Coulson, you're well settled into the club now. You've been here since December. How are you finding it?
Yeah, it's been brilliant. Obviously, we had a great run of form when I first joined, and the lads have really, really helped me settle in quickly, which has been really important. So I can't thank them enough for their understanding. So really enjoying it so far, and obviously looking ahead to the rest of the season.
And it is a great bunch of people here. You seem to have settled into that really quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there was a few ins and outs initially, but you know, the core of the lads have been brilliant. The two Frankies and George and Skipper and Mecky, and I think the fact that we've had some long injuries recently, but you know, everyone's getting around them, the likes of Jake Goodman and Adam Mecky, so you can tell there's a strong togetherness throughout the whole squad.
And in terms of the football, you've settled into the side now. You seem to be playing some great football. Are you happy with yourself so far?
Yeah, I'd like some more goals and assists, of course. but I still haven't scored at home yet, so there's going to be a major relief when I do that. I think I've been unlucky a few times and come close and hit the woodwork, but it's obviously the goals that count. But you know, the team, like I said, we went on that great run of form initially when I joined, which was great, and that really propelled us up the table. So I think there's a good understanding of myself with the lads, of what they expect from me, and the understanding of how everyone plays now.
Is there any point in doing a goal of the season competition now?
I'd like to think not. I'd like to think of, yeah, you know, I don't think we need to vote on it. But it'll be nice to see if anyone else can, you know, nine games to go. You never know. It might be surpassed.
Throwing down a gauntlet to the team there.
There's been a few people that have come up to me and said, oh, what about this? What about that? But I'm confident.
We've had a lot of injuries, unfortunately, recently, which has coincided with a bit of a drop in form past three games. But it was good to pick up a point on Tuesday, wasn't it, against an informed Chesterfield side?
Yeah, of course, it was disappointing to have conceded so late and only get a point. But like you say, after the recent run of form and the loss to Dagenham, and Chesterfield have been doing well, so it was important we got something on the board. And obviously it's a step in the right direction, and we scored three goals at home, but disappointing to obviously only get a point, but important that we did.
And next attention turns to the Kent Senior Cup, and then back to the league, where we face Braintree, a side that it's been a bit of a bogey side for us in recent weeks, but fingers crossed we can go there and start a winning run again.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm cup tied for the Kent Cup, so I'll have to watch the lads and cheer on from the sidelines, but you know, I'm confident we can go there and get through to the final, which is important. You know, the Gaffer wants silverware, which is, you know, what every club wants. And Braintree, not my greatest place to visit, you know, it's but we, you know, we've got to go there with professionalism and do what we can to get the 3 points.
Well, Luke, best of luck and thank you.
Cheers, thank you.
Great to hear from Luke there. Obviously, he played a massive part in our fantastic little run that we had of being unbeaten. Really, a great addition to the squad, Matt.
Yeah, he's been fantastic, hasn't he? He's got a lot in his locker, and we've seen that, I think, with the goal at Hartlepool. Absolutely fantastic finish. It's, you know, a goal of the season.
Unbelievable.
But he's got a lot more than that as well. He's a fantastic all-round player. Can play
good character as well.
Yeah, great character. Yeah,
he comes in and he just releases his such positivity on the when he comes in for breakfast and lunch, and during the training, he's great fun to be around, and like I said, he just gives a great lift.
Can I just say, it was very positive when you got his phone from in between the Ravens bar seats.
Oh yeah, he dropped his phone down the bar around Christmas time, and obviously I took the bar apart and got it out, and yeah, couldn't be more thankful. I didn't get anything from it, but
you're still holding out for that, yeah.
anyway, we actually had a fans question last week.
We
actually had a question for the fans last week, for a change.
Yes.
We are trying to get back into the routine now, aren't we?
Yes, we are, yeah. So we asked you...
Nothing worse than listening to us three for the whole podcast. No, you just want to have some other voices, other interactions in there. Hopefully we can get back into the routine of that.
We came up with a question last week for you, and that was book-related. It was World Book Day, and we asked you... We asked you what your favourite football-related book was, but it couldn't be anything by Dave Roberts, because if we included Dave Roberts, it would be very one-sided.
Of course it would.
So so we've got lots of answers, actually, and Cookie, I believe you're going to kick us off on those.
Oh, apparently I am. Thank you very much for that, Matt.
So, put down your non-alcoholic beverage over there.
You mean my H2O. Simon Carton says, Left Foot Forward, A Year in the Life of a Journeyman Footballer by Gary Nielsen. Witty and insightful.
Paul McKay, The Miracle of Castel di Sangro, I think I'm pronouncing that right, by Joe McGuinness. And Paul says, The Story of a Small Town Team Reaching Dizzying Heights by an American.
Mark Trigent over on Twitter, My recommendation is for The Quiet Genius by Ian Herbert, all about Sir Bob Paisley, a fantastic read.
Mike Head 8 on Twitter says, Fever Pitch by Nick Hornby, but a lesser known one for non-league fans is Floodlit Dreams by Ian Riley.
Steve Denny's
Ian
given
Ridley,
us
Ian Ridley, wasn't he? Was he the St Albans chairman at one point, or Oh, I'm not sure. Maybe I've got that completely wrong. Sorry, Matt.
Steve Denny's given us half an answer. He said, does my Panini UEFA Euro 1980s sticker book count? It's got some words and he's completed it. Fair enough, Steve. I think we'll take that one.
That's brilliant. Dave Roberts over on Twitter, obviously the author of the books we said no one could include, he's come back with The Far Corner by Harry Pearson.
I was going to name this next one, but Matt's probably better at pronouncing. So I'll go on to Rob Shirley says, Journeyman by Ben Smith. He explains the life of a non-league player by the player himself. You'll begin to understand why players in non-league move around so much.
So you're batting that one back to me, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so Mark Cooper on Twitter, MarkC999,
says, I just want to say I do know Gianluca Vialli. I can't.
The Italian Job by Gabriele Marcotti and Gianluca Vialli, or A Season with Verona by Tim Parks.
I don't know about you, but generally I'm keeping this list. I've favoured it all on Twitter, so I can actually collect all these books and have a good read, because I'm awful for it. I go away on holiday, I go, right, I'm going to read a book, brilliant, and then I can never decide. I'm just going to stockpile these and get them off on Amazon, I think.
I don't have time to read.
Colin Head, the footballer who could fly, Duncan Hamilton. It's a great book about how football brings a son and his father together. Also captures the culture and legend of our wonderful sport.
At Lee Johnson, 1973 on Twitter says, we all live in a Prairie Groves world. It is a hilarious read.
Danny Spencer on Twitter.
This will be Stoke related.
It is. She stood there laughing. A Man, His Son and Their Football Club by Steve Foster. And he says, both brilliant and sadly poignant.
I'm sorry, I'll you next.
I'll go next. Sue Spencer says, The Auschwitz Goalkeeper.
Blimey, a prisoner of war's true story. That's incredible. Paul Richard, Bobby Robson, Farewell But Not Goodbye, and the FA Non-League Football Annual 1978-79 by Tony Williams, the first year it was printed. Just on subject to Bobby Robson, have you ever watched that Netflix documentary? I think it was on Netflix or Amazon Prime, about Sir Bobby Robson.
No,
I can't remember what it's called. Oh, you have to go and watch it. I'm sure it's on Netflix or Amazon Prime. It's brilliant. Honestly, it covers his time with Barcelona and when Jose Mourinho was interpreter and everything like that. And absolutely amazing. It's got Gascoigne, it's got Guardiola, it's got all the interviews of all the people, Shearer, everything. And it's absolutely amazing story. And he got offered a job at Newcastle while he was still at Barcelona. He wanted to show his faith to Barcelona and see out his contract, and then they went and got rid of him for whatever it was. Van Gaal was it, I think. You just have to. It's brilliant. Obviously, unfortunately, we all know the sad ending and how it ended. But it's honestly, by the end, you will cry. It was absolutely, absolutely brilliant watch. Sorry, Matt.
That's all right. So David Garwood at Radcliffe Raven on Twitter says, "Only a Game" by Eamon Dunphy.
Brilliant. And Pete Williams, Stadium Fetish. No, I can't remember. Should begin with Simon Inglis, The Football Grounds of Britain. Fantastic. Is that everything? Is that all we had?
Yeah.
I need to save all of them.
A lot of people with different opinions, which is really good.
Yeah, nobody's actually said the same book, which is really interesting.
One thing that's not on there is Simon Jordan's one. I don't know if you've read that. It's Be Careful What You Wish For. It's about his time as Palace owner, I think. If I recall. And, it's quite a funny read. And on that note,
mine's a non-league paper.
Mark Goldberg, I thought he was going to write something. The whole Terry Venable story, you know, and obviously everybody loves saying 40, 50 million, whatever it was and everything like that. But apparently he was going to write something. I'm still saying Gel's got to put a book together.
Definitely.
100%. Yeah. You know, he's a chairman, never been relegated, all of that. But actually, there's so many other stories that have evolved over the 12, 13, 14 years. It's, how are we going to get him to do that?
Quite incredible, really.
Maybe get in contact with Dave Roberts.
I have to link it up. Brilliant. Matt, what are we on to next?
I will find out for you. We are going to... caught me off guard there.
You don't know either.
We're going to look ahead to the Kent Senior Cup. Yeah, that was almost...
Magic of the Cup.
Yeah, it's back. The Kent Senior Cup's back.
Well, now it's the semi-finals. It's important and we want to win it. No, but in all seriousness, it's something about this cup. Past few seasons. So last year, obviously, we got to the semi-finals and played Maidstone, and a strong academy side went out and suffered defeat to them. I think it was 4-2 in the end, wasn't it?
Was Omar in that team? One of his first games, or?
Yeah, I think that was his first goal, wasn't it?
Was it?
I think, yeah.
But going back to it, he's we're obviously, I think we've got a more favourable draw in the semi-final this year. No disrespect to Tonbridge, but obviously they're at a lower level of football. Played them a few years ago. They're coming
stadium. Barry Moore still there?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
We've love going down there.
That'd be lovely.
Amples of parking. You won't see Jeff outside the park.
I love that. I love that. That's your reason to go. It's got loads of parking.
Loads of parking.
Absolutely brilliant. No, but honestly, I think it's fantastic. I mean, my earliest memory of it would be probably 2005, 2006. George and Billy, George Whateley and Billy Smith. The final. It was here, Hayes Lane, and we played Gravesend and Northfleet. So before they were renamed, what do you call it? Dubai. I mean, Ebbsfleet. Qatar. I can't remember anyway. And we played Gravesend and Northfleet. You know, they were Conference at the time. I think we were Rhyming Premier. And I'm trying to remember who scored a goal. Can't remember. I think it was 1-1. I think it went to extra time. And that's it. Andy Walker. So yeah, it must be 05-06. The main stand was the stand without the extension at the back. It didn't have the venue. It was just being built at the time, if I remember, because me and my brother were filming on what is now the balcony. Back then, I think it was just like a concrete base or something. And 1-0, I'm sure it went to extra time. Andy Walker, it was like a comic scene. We were holding these, you know, I'm sure they didn't fill the first seven. I can't even remember at the time. But it was Andy Walker, ball out of his hands from not even a goal kick. One of the keepers was going to launch it upfield. You know, like Gregory, everyone always says he comes out of his box. Now he doesn't, if you actually watch it. But he's held the ball and he's gone for the kick and he smashed it off the back of the forwards. Hit the forwards back. It's gone rolling back towards the net. I promise you, to this day, it's one of the best double saves I've ever seen. He's gone absolutely running back. And we've got it on camera. It's on a DV tape somewhere. We'll have to get it out. No, it's on YouTube somewhere. Matt will find the link later. And he's dived back. He's clawed it out from behind the line. How he saved it in the first place, I don't know. The rebounds then come in. He's absolutely spread himself and saved the second one. Absolutely brilliant. And then, what happened? Did it go on to penalties or did we win? We won it, but I can't remember. I think we might have scored in... ridiculous. Why do we call a game that I can't remember? We definitely won, though. I'm sure we did. Yeah, we did, because the photo's up at the back of the venue. Oh, you two are useless. I think you better help me out here.
It's before my time. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, my God. Maybe Vinesy, Joe Vines, 2-2, Andy Walker. I think it might have been Andy Walker that was lifting a trophy. The photo's up at the top. But, we beat Gravesend and Northfleet. And all I remember was, during extra time, I was getting quite lively while filming on the balcony. It was unlike me. And we were on the balcony filming, and I remember shouting out a few stuff. I don't know, it might have been counting down the clock or whatever. And to the left of me were the Gravesend and Northfleet players who weren't involved at the time. And this was George Brady's last season with us. So we knew they were going. I think Steve McCartney had obviously caused all the uproar in the Christmas period by announcing it, basically, to the delight of Cherry at the time, if I recall. And the bunch of players next to us, all in Gravesend and Northfleet tracksuits. And one of them got up and tapped me on the shoulder. He went, "All right, son, pipe it down." And I was like, and honestly, I was 15, 16 or whatever at the time. I remember turning around and going, yeah, all right. You know, we won. I'm like, yeah, get in here, everything like that. Promise you, the following pre-season, July or whatever, all of a sudden there's a photo on the front page of the website. Mark's obviously become manager. And Mark signed this player called Bobby Bowery and takes a photo. And I go, I recognise that bloke. He was a bloke who told me, he was a Graves in the Northfleet, and he was a bloke who told me to sit down when I was filming and cheering. So it's a football, it's a funny old world. But what were we talking about?
Football. Tonbridge, yeah. So I've just looked up their stats, and they are fourth in the Isthmian Bostic League table with 57 points from 34 games. So they're having a very good season.
At the start of the season, I think they was pretty much at the top for a while. They had a really good run.
They did slip. They were 7th, 8th, I think, last time we spoke about them. But yeah, now they are 4th in the table, so hitting some good form now. It should be a really good game. It's always nice to visit the Longmead Stadium, isn't it? We've been there a few times.
It was a year before we won the conference. South, am I correct?
We did play there in the Kent Senior Cup when we were in this league.
And
was it me and you, Jeff, who commentated behind the goal? Was it us?
I was in the bar.
Yeah. No, that's right.
Jeff was too busy in the bar. Yeah.
Jeff was in the bar. We was commentating,
and it was a dreadful game.
Nigel Cornwall kept coming up to us.
Yeah.
And they were shouting into the mics.
And it was just a dreadful game. I remember.
But we'd be doing that again, but we did pick up a win then.
Tell you what, one of the most memorable games there, FA Cup fourth qualifying round,
2006, 2007.
I can't remember the year, no, but I don't know. Ryan Hall scored a volley from a throw-in, I think, to make it 1-0. They equalised, and then second half, Donal O'Sullivan, mate, scored a header to make it 2-1. I think that took us through to... Oh, I can't remember. Anyway, I remember it. It was 2-1. We won 2-1. Ryan Hall and Donal O'Sullivan.
And it went 6-0-7?
Oh, I can't remember.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Matt, all the details for the game are up on the website. Admission prices, all pay on the day, obviously.
Absolutely, yeah. So no tickets in advance, all pay on the day. No segregation.
It's not a ticket.
No, absolutely not. So, obviously, 7:45 kickoff on Tuesday at the Longmead Stadium. And, yeah, it looks like Neil's going to be taking it really seriously and putting a first-team side out. So a nice local
away game to get to. Going to be interesting. Like you say, obviously, we're injury hit, so it's going to be interesting to see how many players are actually out for that, how many are included, maybe some under-23s academy. Like you said, no doubt he's made it clear he wants to put a strong side out, but no doubt there's going to be a few opportunities there for some of the youngsters.
Yeah, a lot of promising talent coming through. The under-23s obviously in action tonight. I think it's going to be good to have a few, seeing what they can do on the bench or starting.
Yeah, like we said, obviously a weekend off for everybody. Obviously, I believe they're training on Saturday. Back in, like you say, ready for Tuesday. After Tunbridge, Matt, we are away to...
Braintree.
Let's go out there again.
Oh, you love that place, Cookie. Yeah, so Braintree, obviously, currently bottom of the National League. However, they did pick up a really impressive win on Tuesday at Sutton United. They beat them 3-0. And they missed a penalty as well. So they could quite conceivably not finish bottom, which would probably be an achievement. No disrespect intended. They've been bottom for most of the season, Braintree. But they've got some impressive results along the way.
All I remember is the FA Cup. Were we 2-0
up? 2-0 up with 20 minutes left, yeah.
Oh. And I loved Alan Julian, but I mean, I don't know what was going on that day.
No.
The Lee Mitchell substitution.
Yeah. Anyway, they beat us obviously 4-2 earlier this season at Hayes Lane, which was not a positive result. They've been something of a bogey side for us. It'll be good to put that run to an end and get a victory next Saturday, hopefully.
Last time we went there was obviously they got relegated last year, didn't they? And that was their Conference South year. But before that, it was the last time we played them was the 2-0, wasn't it? Where again, I think we conceded and we went down.
I can't remember the last time we beat them.
No. Anyway, lovely place, fantastic ground, fantastic facilities.
Great pitch.
Well, I mean, that's going to be a tough slog, I think, either way, isn't it? obviously, it doesn't get much easier the week after. We're off up to Salford, Matt.
We are, yes. So Salford, actually, at the moment, as things stand, currently fifth in the table. But it's very tight up there. They're on 66 points, and the leaders, Leighton Orient, are only on 73. So only a few points above them, 7 points to be exact. So, yeah, another really, really good away day for us to experience a new ground, etc.
Definitely. Say hello to Neville Beckham. They'll all be there, won't they?
They'll all be there, absolutely.
Brilliant. Skulls.
Yeah.
Skulls might be back. He's just got sacked from all them, hasn't he?
He's resigned, actually.
Oh, he resigned. Yeah, of course he has.
On WhatsApp, apparently.
He resigned what?
He resigned on WhatsApp, apparently.
Really?
Apparently so.
Brilliant. Right, we seem to have waffled on too much. Matt, we've got a question of the week.
We do have a question. We've got a question of the week, definitely. It's the most entertaining Bromley game that you've experienced.
Oh, so this is obviously on the back of Tuesday night, seeing six goals at Hayes Lane.
So it was quite an entertaining second half, entertaining game. So we thought we'd ask you what your most entertaining Bromley game you've ever seen is. And I don't know.
What's the criteria for that? Is that goals? Is it excitement? Is it
I think
last
it can be
minute?
Anything, to, Again, be, to be honest.
It's going to be so varied, isn't it? Just like the book question this week. Be so many variations. I think
most exciting game, like West Sutton Mare at home, where if we won the league. Yeah. It was obviously exciting because you know the end of it, but the actual game itself, I'm not sure was
the atmosphere.
Boreham Wood at home, that was exciting because we were in a title race.
What about when we went 1-0 up against Hemel Hempstead only to concede straight from kickoff?
Oh, in the 95th minute, I remember.
Oh,
that.
My Lord.
Cookie, that was the minute that you gave up. You came down from the gantry, didn't you?
We were standing behind the goal, and it was still like almost wet concrete. The dust was when the wind blew, it was like Sahara. It was like you couldn't see a thing.
That was the game where I ran out of battery on the camera and Jeff tripped out all the electric.
We went into their bar and they had like this little free box plugged in with the telly, and we unplugged it, plugged the camera in, the whole bar went off, all the lights, all the tellies went off.
Sorry
Matt, so remind us of the question, how can people get in touch?
The most entertaining Bromley match you have experienced, and we'd like it to be one you've actually been at, not that you've watched on TV or you followed on Twitter, etc. So a match you've actually been
People have seen Bromley games on telly. That's brilliant.
I know, how times
defeat against Altrincham.
I don't think anyone will be choosing that. So you can get in touch by tweeting us at Bromley FC using the hashtag Ravens Weekly, or emailing us at podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk, or you Bromley can reply to the Facebook post.
Bromley versus Folkestone, 2005. We were 3-0 down, came back to 3-3. We got it back to 3-2, if I remember. And then George Wade brought on Wade Falana. And I can't remember what the crowd was then, 450. And everyone was doing the old Falana, la, 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 la. Brilliant. So corner, he comes on. Corner gets swung in, ref blows up, Wade gets sent off. He's punched a fella from the the corner, and it was 3-2. And we still went on to score the equaliser, I'm sure of it.
Unbelievable scenes.
Oh, dear. Oh, anyway, I'm sure fans would have better ones than that. But, is that about it?
Well, we've got to look at insert soundbite here.
What's that?
Attendance prediction.
Oh, apologies. What's this for? Tunbridge away.
For Tunbridge away. Oh, back to the old days, Jeff.
No, forget the attendance. We should predict how many Bromley fans will go. I think you'll have a good turnout. It's nice and local. As Cookie says, they've got a great parking facility. Yeah.
Bit of a mission from the train station, though. But I'm going to go for about 70 to 100.
A Bromley fans making the journey.
Yeah. I'm going to say 100, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say 89.
Very specific.
Who's their secretary again?
Charlie Cole.
Charlie Cole. He's lovely, Charlie. I bet he'll give us a good figure on the day.
I'm going to go 88.
Fantastic. As always, an exhilarating end to this podcast. Thanks, a big thank you to everybody who's listened to the last 40 minutes of nonsense. As ever, greatly appreciated download. I can't believe we've quite made 30 episodes. Cookie, pleasure as always.
Good to be back.
There you go. Great timing, Matt.
Always a pleasure.
Brilliant. As Matt says, please do get involved. Give us your answers to this week's question over on social media and via email. Have a lovely weekend off away from football, whatever you guys are up to. I hope it's a good one. We'll be back again. Obviously, we're going to be at Tunbridge providing updates. I'm not sure if we're doing commentary. We'll find out soon. It sounds like we are doing commentary. I'll be in a bar. but obviously, we'll be back again next week, Thursday or Friday, with episode 31 of Ravens Weekly. Again, a big thank you to Crown Ash Developments, and a big thank you to everybody who's listened, and we'll be back again next week. You're giving us, there's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.